Well, the scoreboard said I lost today, but what the scoreboard doesn't say is what it is I have found.
Welcome back to the Tennis Connected Studios for May 23rd, 2024. I'm Nima Naderi alongside Parsa Sammy, and we're here this week to preview the French Open. Before we begin this week's show, let's introduce our co-host, Parsa. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you? What's new?
Yeah, it's been good. I mean, we've been off the podcast for a bit just because of other commitments, unfortunately, but we're back for our first show since the U.S. Open last, late summer, which is good, getting ready for the French Open. And what I like about this tournament, Parsa, if you look at it on paper, it's probably the best tournament of the year so far, right? We haven't had a tournament, you know, starting with the men's side, where we've had Djokovic, Nadal, two absolute legends of the game in the same draw. And then you're going to throw in Alcaraz and Sinner, who are now Grand Slam champions, both of them, in the same draw. We still got Andy Murray out there kicking around and Stan Wawrinka. So we got a bunch of Grand Slam winners in the tournament, which is great. And then obviously on the women's side, featured by Iga Świątek, who's absolutely been rolling through the clay court season and pretty much the rest of the year. And, you know, let's be honest, she's the clear favorite to hold up her fourth title at this tournament.
Is there any player... more of a clear cut to win this title than Iga Świątek, men or women?
No, not even. It's kind of like Nadal back in the day, right? Yep. On the men's side, you're like, okay, Nadal, right? Yep. And we had a couple, you know, throughout the years, you know, we had some people we thought we would challenge him here and there. And obviously some other guys won it, and we'll get into that in a second. But you got to go with Iga to hoist this title. I mean, I really don't know how you can slice it any other way, but whatever happens, it's interesting because if this is Nadal's final French Open, I mean, I don't think we're ever going to see another guy win 14 of the same tournament, let alone a major, because like we've talked about it, you got to start really young, like 18, 19, and you got to go well into your mid-30s, right? Because you're not going to win every single year, too. There's going to be a couple other guys, you're going to get injured, whatever, right? So you need to play for like 20, 22 years, and you got to be incredible for that amount
of
time.
It's definitely not a reasonable expectation.
No, it's not. So, you know, we were talking right before we jumped on air that on the men's side, this is definitely the most open French Open that we've seen since Gaston Gaudio came back from two sets to love to beat Guillermo Correa in the 2004 French Open final. After that, I mean, it was the Nadal show for the better part of, you know, almost
20
decades,
years,
right? With Djokovic winning three times, Stan winning once, Federer winning once, and I apologize, I don't know who else.
I think that's it.
Won in that.
Yeah,
and
that's it.
Pretty much,
and then it's all Nadal. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's incredible. You got 14 for 14 in finals. But he's got Alexander Zverev in round one.
It's unbelievable.
An incredibly tough match. Like, I would rather see him play almost anybody else, to be honest with you.
Yep, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like
tall guy.
Alcaraz first round, yeah, would be better.
Tall guy, doesn't care about the high bouncing ball, which is like Nadal's biggest thing.
And he matches up pretty good with Nadal.
Yep.
You know,
and he's in form. And he's in form.
And he just won Rome, which is an incredibly good indicator of how this tournament usually plays out. You've seen it in the past with Djokovic winning, obviously Nadal winning, stuff like that. So it's going to be rough ask for Nadal, but that's what I'm saying. So tournament starts Sunday. I'll be shocked if you see Nadal play Sunday. Be shocked if he seems, they're probably going to kind of try to extend it as much as possible. And I don't think you're going to, even though they have night sessions now, I don't think you're going to see Nadal play in the night session because the conditions will definitely not favor him. So it's going to probably be, I would guess, day session Tuesday. That's what I think is going to happen. But the whole point is that by the end of Tuesday, Nadal is likely not going to be in this tournament. Now, you're going to say, okay, well, Nima, this guy's won the tournament 14 times. He has no chance.
That's exactly what I'm going to say.
Yeah, he obviously has a chance. But, I mean, based on this year, you know, he's played, I think this is going to be, he played, I think, four previous tournaments. This is going to be his fifth tournament of the year. And, I mean, based on form, if you look at what's happened, he lost to Thompson in Australia, in Brisbane. He lost to Dina Mir in Barcelona. He lost to Lavechka in Madrid. And then he lost. Hurkacz destroyed him in Rome, right? So I don't know. I mean, I think he's not in form.
No, he's definitely not in form.
It's funny because, you know, Zverev, if you remember that quote from that year that he got injured in the quarters against him, quarters or semis, he said that, you know, when Nadal comes here, all of a sudden his forehand is 30% better. He moves 30% better. His backhand is 30% better. So if Zverev's feeling that, that's better for Nadal, right? Because if he has that respect for him, then
I think we were talking about this and you said, you know, some people are thinking that it's better to play Zverev right away with a fresher body. And I'm kind of like, I don't know, man, you know, the guy has no form, you know, so you're taking the guy with no form versus the guy with all the form. It becomes a very, very, very daunting challenge for Rafa. At the same time, Nima, we've been doing the podcast for over a decade. And we've consistently failed at voting against Nadal every single time in the last 14 years or however long we've been doing this. We've somehow said, nope, there's no chance Nadal's going to retire. He's going to be injured. His back is going to break off. Instead, the opposite happens. He goes on some magnificent run and wins another one. And the year next year comes, same thing, and he wins it again. And I know, obviously, this is a very dire circumstance. He's completely out of form and not there. But it's still conventional thinking, you know, and logical thinking and statistical thinking. You know, it's real challenge to just say that you know, Rafa's almost got no shot. It's kind of crazy. And that's no shot to get out of round one at the tournament. He's won 14 times. I mean, it's insane. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, but that's what happens when you're unseeded, right? He's like 200 and something in the world, right?
Yep.
Like you look at all these guys that he could have played. I mean, like Adam Walton from Australia. No disrespect to him, but you know, he's a wild card. He has probably a reciprocal wild card from the French. I mean, I'm sure Nadal would like to see that guy on the other side of the net, right? Even Casper Ruud, like anybody.
Anyone other than really Zverev, I mean.
Yeah, even Tsitsipas, I would like his chances better, right? And so it's a rough ask, but if he can get out of this match somehow, then listen, you know, it looks like it's a much better situation for him. And but we'll get to that in a second. Other obviously stories is, you know, the interesting thing, Parsa, is you got Djokovic coming in. He's playing in Geneva actually this week, which is very atypical of him, right? But he's had, for his standards, probably one of the worst seasons he's had in recent memory, right? He hasn't won a tournament. I mean, he's been pretty off this year.
Have you seen the highlights, by the way? Have you seen the highlights of Geneva? Does the ball look like they're just belting the ball like harder than?
His match today. He played Griekspoor, played really well.
It doesn't look like clay court tennis, does it? They're just whacking it. Like it's. I was shocked at the stuff I was seeing.
Yeah, but if you look at, I mean, like confidence is confidence, right? You come in, you feel good. It's a bold move, you know, but he, you know, for him to play at 250 the week before defending in Grand Slam, you know, shows you, like, listen, Novak knows what he's doing. That's what I would say. I mean, more than anybody, like, there's a couple guys out there, him, Nadal, Federer. You can't really question what they do. only because they're, you know, they've proven that their decisions are pretty good, right? So you got to go with what Djokovic is doing. But nevertheless, he's not the player that he was last year yet. There's still three slams left, the Olympics. He can definitely turn it around and make good. But I would say as of now, you know, he's not really in form. You got Sinner coming back after a hip injury. You got Alcaraz coming back after an arm injury. So, I mean, listen, why, you know, can't somebody like Tsitsipas or even two-time defending finalist Casper Ruud win this tournament? Guy like Tommy Paul, maybe make the semis. Taylor Fritz, who's had a good clay court season, even though he's not a clay court player. There's a lot of guys out there now that are like looking at this saying, you know, with Nadal not there, really, why not me? Zverev, another guy. Like, if he can beat Nadal first round, I mean, he's got a really good draw. So I would be shocked if he's not making at least the semifinals.
And I think if we're exiting the Nadal era, right, then the Nadal era before that time was really, you know, randos were winning the French Open. It was, you know, anyone could really win it. You never really knew a qualifier could come in and go to the final. And it used to be a regular thing because the clay used to just feature clay quarters and there was more distinct styles and less all around players. So you used to have these sort of specialists, and this year feels like that. It feels like, you know, it's not going to be a big time name. That's going to, when I say big time name, it's really right now it's Djokovic and Nadal. It doesn't look like it's going to be either of them, and possibly, you know, you've got to beat up Alcaraz and a beat up Sinner. You know, that's going to leave room for the Tsitsipas, the Ruud, Zverev, just like you've alluded to. So it's an opportunity. Absolutely. For sure. It's kind of like how Stan did it, right? When Stan won, he was an opportunist. You know, he took advantage of the way the draw worked out.
Of course. And I think you're going to see a little bit of that this year. I mean, I think at the end of the day, a guy like Djokovic, and he's the only guy. Nobody else has this, you know, I guess, not necessarily a problem, but a wish list is that the only thing he needs to win in tennis is an Olympic gold medal. He literally has everything else. He has every Grand Slam. He has every Masters 1000. He has the Tour Finals. He has the Davis Cup. He's got everything. So this is the last, and this is likely his last opportunity, right? Because he just turned 37 yesterday. Next Olympics is going to be 41. Dowdy's going to be playing in Los Angeles. So we'll see. I mean, you got to think that that's kind of like what he's, you know, saving the reserves for. You know what I mean? Because why not? Like, if he wins the French this year, obviously it's good. But he already has three French Opens. He already has, what is it, seven Wimbledons, six, seven Wimbledons. He already has four or five U.S. Opens. Like, you know what I mean? But he doesn't have an Olympic gold medal. So for me, that's number one priority right now for Novak Djokovic. But, you know, for him playing Geneva this week, he's kind of showing the guys like, listen, don't think I don't care about this either, right? So that's where it can get a little bit tricky. But listen, nevertheless, I think it's going to be a great tournament. It's great that everybody's in it, which is the best thing for everybody, fans, you know, media, everybody. So that's going to be, that's a cool concept aspect of it right there. And let's just see how it plays out. But I would think right now, Parsa, to summarize the men's draw before we get into the ladies, I would say I'm going to be going with Alcaraz over Djokovic for the title. I like Alcaraz's draw. I think he's going to work himself through it. I don't think Sinner's going to be ready. And I think Djokovic is good enough to battle through this. But I think by then, Alcaraz is going to be in good shape. He's going to be fresh. I think he's worked out his arm issues. Otherwise, I don't think he would play the tournament. And I think that's why, you know, I'm going to be going with Alcaraz to win. How do you see all of this playing out on the men's side?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I really do feel like this is Zverev's turn. You know, And I couldn't believe when I saw the draw, the way it unfolded and came out for them to be, you know, in the first round, and then for Zverev and Djokovic to be in the same half. I think there's a lot to work through and a lot of legends to beat But I just, I don't know what it is. But for me, I love the way he's striking the ball. And I just have to have Zverev coming through here on the top. I hate it because I'm, what's interesting, Nima, is I'm going to be 100% rooting as hard as I can for Nadal to win, you know, and beat Zverev first round. But I, in my logical part of my brain says, you know, it's going to be a tough one, a tough day at the office. And I do think you're right. They're going to try to get the scheduling so that it favors Nadal as much as they can. But I think that's what's going to happen. I think it's going to be Zverev into the final, and I think he's going to play Alcaraz, and I think it's going to be an incredible match, and something that's going to go deep into the fifth set. And I want to say Zverev is going to win, but he won't. If it goes into the fifth and it goes deep and he doesn't dominate Alcaraz in the final, then it's going to be Alcaraz who's going to come up with the goods at the end. You know, there's going to be a lot of, you know, we have to not forget Zverev is going through some issues off court too, which I think,
exactly, yeah.
I think once the press,
he's got a trial next Friday.
Yeah. I don't think he cares, but I think the press will pepper him and it'll be annoying, you know, and, you know, I think that's going to loom and play a big deal. So I've got a Carlos Alcaraz winning this event.
Okay. Nice. And on to the women's, which is become kind of Rafa Nadal-esque for Iga Swiatek, three-time winner. I mean, listen, won Madrid, won Rome, beat the second best player in the world in both finals. I mean, the Madrid final was probably, you know, the best match of the year so far on either tour, 7-6 in the third. It was a great match, won by the Pole. And then, I mean, Rome was pretty routine and straightforward. You know, she beat Coco Gauff easy, beat Sabalenka easy. I don't know. I don't know how you beat Swiatek right now on the clay court unless she kind of beats herself.
Which I just...
You need...
Yeah.
Or you need somebody who's going to mix it up, right? Like coming in, serve volleying, you know, like Mukova did last year, but she's injured. Somebody like that. I don't think you can overpower her from the baseline. Like, you got to come into the net, the drop shot, stuff like that could work. You got to be very tactical, and very, like, you know, you have to have a lot of different types of game plans, switch gears constantly. And I don't know. I mean, I was looking at this and I was thinking, you know, Danielle Collins, let's give her a shout out because she's retiring at the end of the year, Parsa, playing the best tennis of her life. You know, and she's just rocking and rolling, and, you know, she hits the ball a ton, 11th seed. She could face Swiatek in the quarters, and people might say, okay, well, that's going to be routine for Iga, but I don't know. I mean, based on, you know, confidence is an interesting thing, right? And when you look at confidence, and, you know, Collins has a ton of that, especially with her results this year, I think it could be a good match, right? But I got to go with a repeat of what we've seen so far this season with Iga and Sabalenka in the finals. And I got to go with Swiatek to, you know, hoist her fourth French Open title, and it won't be the last one, and her fifth overall Grand Slam. That's what I'm going with.
Yeah, I'm definitely right there with you. I think this one, it's so funny because every Grand Slam podcast we do, it's like the women are, there's so much parity. We have no idea who's going to win. There's no consistency. There's no superstar. And here we go. You know, for the third clay court tournament in a row, looks like it's going to be Iga and Sabalenka. They definitely have ascended themselves. And unfortunately, I don't know where Coco is, but Coco's getting a little left behind here. It looks like it's Sabalenka and Swiatek that are taking themselves to a level beyond the next level, which is your famous words there. And they are in a class by themselves, you know. So I definitely have them facing each other. I think it's going to be a war. I think Arena is she's a fighter, man. I love watching her play. She goes after it. She goes for it. She's all over the place and a little bit eccentric. And you got Swiatek, who's much more workmanlike, and you know, just different and can come up with some crazy shots. So I think that the contrast of the two is also great. I think Swiatek is going to win, but I'll be rooting for Sabalenka in that final.
Yeah, and you know, backing up to Coco Gauff here for a second. For Coco, first of all, she's made the finals of the French before. But I think, this year I don't see her doing that. But Wimbledon and U.S. Open is going to be her time to thrive. You know, she's defending U.S. Open, champion. That's going to be huge for her coming back to New York. I mean, you know better than anybody. You live right there. That it's going to be insane.
Yeah.
You know, the media attention and all the probably American Express, Billboard, all the stuff, right? It's going to be all Coco Gauff everywhere. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, great for the game. And I think, she's going to do okay here. She might make semis, quarter of semis, but, it's Iga's tournament to win or lose. And there's no two ways about that. I would say to end off the podcast, obviously it's going to be, it's going to be kind of a bittersweet tournament, right? Because does Nadal play his final French Open? It's interesting because I really think he's going to try to play a little bit next year, Parson. I think he wants to play next year. I think he wants to do Monte Carlo. I think he wants to do Rome. And then he's probably going to try to do the French again. And I don't think he's going to be able to, but I think he definitely wants to. We got Andy Murray, who's going to be done after Wimbledon. He plays Stan Wawrinka first round here. So that's another popcorn match right there. You got two three-time slam winners facing off in the round of 28. And listen, how much longer is Stan going to play, right? Stan is 39, I think, this year. Right?
There's a lot of them. So team is out.
Yeah, team's done. He's played his – I mean, they didn't
Schwartzman is out, right?
Yeah. They didn't even give the poor guy a wild card into the tournament. That's a disaster. Two-time, U.S. Open winner, made the finals here on a couple of occasions. So I really don't know what's going on there. But team is done this year. Schwartzman's going to be done, in I think probably February of next year. So it's a little bit of a changing of a guard, right? You got, I think.
Who's it changing to, Nima? Who is it changing to? That's the question.
Well, I mean, two of the guys are already there. I think Sinner and Alcaraz are going to run the show. There's going to be other guys like Tommy Paul is going to be in and around the top 10. Ben Shelton, for sure. Amazing serve, athletic guy. Holger Rune, very good player. He's in a bit of a dip right now, but hopefully he gets back because he's kind of, he's got that. I don't want to say like, if you look at, you look at Federer, Nadal and Djokovic, I would say Sinner is a bit like Federer, Alcaraz is a bit like Nadal, and Rune is a bit like Djokovic in terms of the dynamic overall and how the crowd perceives them. So you need those characters, right? Yeah. I think it's going to be good for tennis, but those three guys you got to put at the top of the list.
And we need Kyrgios back, and then we're good to go.
Yeah, but he's kind of shying away from the spotlight. I don't think he believes that he can recreate what he previously did. A little bit like Bianca Andreescu, right? Like she kind of had that amazing year in 2019 and she's been ducking since then.
Yeah.
And she comes up with all of these other reasons. And again, I'm not discounting anything that anybody feels or whatever. Like I respect all of that, but I'm just saying like it's been 5 years since he had a good result, right? And Kyrgios, he played amazing a couple of years ago, made the Wimbledon finals. And I mean, he's played one tournament since then, Parso.
Right? It's unbelievable.
Like he played one event last year and he's played zero tournaments this year. And I heard that he's not even playing Wimbledon. He's coming back for the hard court season. So we'll see. I mean, he's comfortable with that decision, but it's a massive waste for everybody, I would say. Based on what he brings to the table, I totally agree. If he was a top five player, tennis would be, pumping right now. So anyways, those are my parting thoughts on the event. I think it's going to be a great tournament. Like I said, I mean, we have all the major players here. I think the only top player on either tour, correct me if I'm wrong, is Jessica Pegula. She's still not 100% where she needs to be, but she'll be back for Wimbledon. And other than that, we got everybody in both draws present. You got any closing words for us today?
I want to know your dark horses. Who should we watch for?
Dark horses. I know you always, I always ask you that, right? I would say on the men's side, if I'm just scanning the draw here quickly, I mean, it's tough. I would say I really don't have one. I mean,
how about a alternative player to watch, seated or unseated? That's a good question.
I would say Jakub Mencik, you know, Czech player, awesome player. I think he's for sure, you know, a future top tenner. He plays Casper Ruud in round one, and that's going to be a rough match for Casper. I don't think he's going to roll that guy. I'm watching actually on TV right now. Ruud is playing Baez right now. He's up 4-2 in the third, trying to make the semis in Geneva. And he's a guy, again, another guy who plays week in and week out, especially on the dirt. He loves it. But I think Mencik is a good one to watch. And on the women's side, that's another, you know, another tough one there. I mean, Potapova could be good. I mean, listen, why not Osaka, right? Osaka's coming back. I like her attitude now. I think she's much more centered. You know, after she had her first child and everything, she came back on tour. She really seemed to me like she's enjoying the process. And I think this is kind of going to be like her last chapter. I don't think she's going to play like five more years. You know what I mean? I think she's got maybe a year or two left. I don't think she retires this year. I think she might, you know, play next year as well, too, and then take it from there. She's made, you know, a boatload of cash, and she's got four majors. I don't know how much more she can do, but I think she definitely wants to prove that she can win one more Grand Slam, and it's not going to be the French Open, but she could play Świątek in round two, and that could, on paper, I mean, listen, that's an incredible match.
Yep.
You got 2 4-time Grand Slam champions playing in round two. So I would say that based on where she is right now, I'd go with Naomi Osaka.
Very good. I like it. See, that's good. Informative.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's all I got, Parso. You got any closing words for us?
No, I'm excited to watch and see how this all unfolds, and excited to kind of see how the American Tommy Paul will do and how they will progress. And I'm always interested in seeing how, if someone can separate themselves. Right now, those guys are bunched together. They really haven't, not one guy has really stepped up. There's been Fritz and TFO have been leading the way, but, you know, they've since been caught by the rest of the pack. And it's just interesting to see which American, and hopefully the whole group, can push themselves to someone really announces themselves as the best American in the world. It'd be pretty cool.
Let's go. Let's see it. So, you know, 15 days of French Open coverage coming up, starting Sunday. So I'll be watching that. Make sure to tune in to tennisconnected.com. Give Parso a follow at ParsoSammy on Instagram. And you can obviously follow us at Tennis Connected on multiple platforms. And once again, Parso, thank you for joining us this week.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody out there, for listening and, you know, following us for a better part of over a decade. We really appreciate it. And Parso and I will be back in about a month to preview Wimbledon, the All England Club. And once again, everybody out there, be good. Enjoy the French Open, and we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Bye.